Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle. Today, actually, I'm pre-recording this message. I'm actually in India at a beautiful spiritual place called Mount Abu in western Rajasthan in India as a guest of the Brahma Kumaris. They are such wonderful people. They have a wonderful meditation center here, which I've been at for the past week. And anyway, I'm here, and it's an amazing place. It's the middle of the night here. It's about 3:30 in the morning. Beautiful moonlit sky. But I wanted to tell you that coming up during this hour, I'll be talking about my upcoming trip to Mount Shasta, which will be from October 23rd through October 28th, 2019. And it'll be followed by a wonderful interview with a lady named Sister Shilu, who's one of the main people here at the Very Spiritual Lady at the Brahma Kumaris here at Mount Abu. When I took Sister Shilu's picture a couple days ago, there was actually a white glow around her entire body. It was just amazing. I'll be having that. I'll put that picture up on my website here in a couple days. But she's an amazing lady. Finally, at the very end of this hour, I'll be playing another recorded interview I had with a lady named Miss Kampala. She's the head of the Wellness and Spiritual Center at the local hospital here, and during the first hour, we had I did an interview with the Dr. Pradeep of the hospital. And what makes the hospital so amazing is that not only do they offer traditional Western medicine to people, but they also offer homeopathy, acupuncture, all kinds of things that we don't offer in the West. They also encourage all of their patients to meditate frequently. And during the day, every hour, they ask that everybody meditate for at least a minute or 2 minutes at the beginning of every hour or two during the day. So, you know, you could be busy seeing a patient if you're a doctor or just waiting for to see a doctor or get medical help at this hospital. But they found that meditation really helps people out. It helps adjust their attitude, calms them down, and improves their health as well. So they require everybody they ask everyone to meditate during the day about once every hour or two. And you'll hear this music being broadcast through the entire hospital. And you're required to stop talking and meditate quietly just for a minute. I think it's a great system, and it's a hospital that, unlike any other hospital in the world I've ever been to, it's also considered, I think, one of the best Ayurvedic hospitals in the world. But it's a beautiful place. It's located in western Rajasthan in India, in a beautiful place called Mount Abu. It's about by train, it's about 11 hours from New Delhi, but it's well worth a trip here if you do come. I wanted to tell you that I've had such a tremendous response for people coming to Mount Shasta. I am going to go back to Mount Shasta twice next year, from July 1st through July 8th, 2020, and then again from August 27th through September 3rd, 2020. But I had so many people contacting me after I've had several shows about all the miracle healings that happened recently at Mount Shasta last month. And in July, that I've decided to go back again in about 10 days, 2 weeks. The dates are October 23rd through October 28th. And if you'd like to go, please send me an email to outoftheworld1150@gmail.com. Or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. Again, that's 509-750-9793. You can also call me toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. What makes Mount Shasta very spiritual and very special is that 100 miles beneath Mount Shasta, there's a civilization there. It's a Lemurian civilization. It's been there 12,500 years. And the reason it's there is because it's the result of a conflict that happened 12,500 years ago with the Atlanteans. The Atlanteans, of course, their civilization was out in the Atlantic Ocean between North America and Europe and Africa. And they got a hold of, they tried to control the world, and they ended up blowing it up with crystalline and nuclear technology. And one of the civilizations they blew up was Lemuria. And Lemuria did exist off the west coast of Canada in the United States. When the Atlanteans blew up much of the planet, they blew up Lemuria. And part of the Lemurian continent drifted off to the west coast of the United States and Canada. And so today, the area from Mount Shasta north all the way to Vancouver Island in beautiful Canada was once part of Lemuria. And that's one of the reasons why people think that so many psychics and spiritual people gravitate toward the west coast in this area. The other thing that happened, too, is that the Lemurians had a very short amount of time before leaving their beautiful continent, before the Atlanteans blew much of it up. And they went into caverns beneath Mount Shasta and established their own civilization. And they have a city underneath Mount Shasta. It's called Telos. The population is 1.3 million people. When they escaped to the caverns underneath Mount Shasta, they numbered only about 25,000, but they were able to bring all of their technology with them, and they've lived peacefully underneath the Mount Shasta in the hollow earth for the past 12,500 years. They are a fifth-dimensional civilization. And for those of you thinking, well, what is a fifth-dimensional civilization? What does that mean? Well, we exist here in the third. We're getting ready to shift into the fourth and the fifth, but a third dimensional civilization is like the one we have here on the surface. A fourth dimensional existence is comprises of time, and then the fifth dimensional civilization is where we're headed right now. In a fifth dimensional civilization, people communicate by telepathy. All the vibrations are far higher than what we experience here on the surface. And so when you see like a red rose or a green tree, The reds are much brighter and redder, and the greens of a tree, for example, are much brighter and also far more intense than here in the third dimension. I've been myself down to Telos several times, met with the people of Telos, and they're very loving and benevolent and kind people, and they want to help us. Adama is the high priest of Telos underneath Mount Shasta. And I've been very fortunate. The people that have come with me on my different trips to Mount Shasta, many have experienced a beautiful miracle healing. I myself, a year ago, I had blurry, farsighted vision in my right eye. And one night, Adama came to me in a dream and asked me if I wanted the healing, and I said yes. So he restored my eyesight from, it was 20/50 vision, blurry, farsighted vision in my right eye, to 2010 crystal clear vision in both eyes one night. I'll never forget that day when I woke up out of the tent and at this campsite next to one of the entrances to the hollow earth at Mount Shasta, and suddenly I could see these trees, and everything was crystal clear. About a month ago, there was a lady on the trip named Eva, a wonderful lady. She had had Lyme disease for the past 20 or 25 years. And we all were doing prayers and meditation at the entrance to one of the on Mount Shasta to Telos in the Hollow Earth, and we all did a group prayer, and within a half hour, Eva's husband Tony came up to me and he said, "Ted, you've got to talk to my wife." And I said, "What happened? She's crying." And I said, "Is everything okay?" She said, "Everything's fine. She's just been healed of Lyme disease that she's had for the past 20, 25 years." So that was a miracle that happened. A little more than a year ago, there was another fellow from Austria who came with me on the trip. He had had Lou Gehrig's disease for the past 15 or 20 years. Lou Gehrig's disease is a disease that freezes up your muscles and you're unable to move. Eventually, you die. And he had come on the trip, and he also experienced a spontaneous healing where he parked his car. He ran back to his car, and it took him. He ran about a mile and a half, 2 miles back to his car where he'd parked it. And it was so amazing. He used to be an athlete in Austria, and he was given this beautiful healing, and he's still fine today. One of the first trips I took to Mount Shasta was in September 2016, and a nice lady there was the wife of a producer, television producer at Gaia TV from Denver, and she said that she'd had fibromyalgia for the past, I don't know how many years, and she was sick and tired of taking medications and oxycodone. The doctors were trying to help her, but they really couldn't do much other than give her painkillers. So she asked for a healing, and then one night the Telosians brought her in to Telos. They bathed her in a what she said was a bath of golden light. And by the next morning, she was completely healed, and she's been completely healed of fibromyalgia ever since. And that was about 3 years ago. Finally, there's another lady named Tammy, who in September 2017 came with me on the trip. And she came late to the campsite one night. The Sasquatch surrounded her camper van, and they asked her if she wanted a healing. She said yes, so they beamed her out of the van into a waiting spacecraft from the Hollow Earth. They gave her a new set of legs, then they put her back down into the van, and the next morning she was completely healed. She was using crutches and a wheelchair, but she hasn't needed anything since. She'd been crippled for many years, and I've been so happy that these miracle healings have been occurring. We also see lots of Sasquatch around, and also see many UFOs. For example, when we were there just a couple of months ago in July, we were all around this campsite, and we contacted telepathically. I contacted a Pleiadian ship, and it turned out to be the main commanding ship, which was operated by Admiral Hilarius. And he came down to see us, actually came down to visit us. He beamed himself down to our campsite. We could see him shimmering in the fifth dimension. And we all had a good conversation with him. He said that he and his crew had been been circling the planet for the last 6 years, and he would be staying there until we finished the ascension process. He said that he was there for several reasons, including helping us with our own ascension. If you'd like to go, space is limited, but send me an email, please, to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me in the United States at 509-750-9793. The cost is just $200 per person, and it includes free camping. These next few interviews will be all about this wonderful hospital called a Global Research Center at Mount Abu here in India. They employ all kinds of very innovative techniques, including homeopathy, meditation, and other techniques to supplement Western medicine to really heal people. And then toward the end of this hour, I also will be including a wonderful interview I had with a lady named Miss Kapani. She is the director of the Spiritual and Wellness Center at this hospital in Western India. I hope you enjoy these interviews, my friends, and thank you so much again for listening today. Hello, friends. I'm at Mount Abu in beautiful Rajasthan in Western India, and I have a wonderful person with me named Sister Shilu of the Brahma Kumaris. Sister Shilu, thank you so much for giving me this interview today. I really appreciate it.
Greetings of peace, and we say in the Brahma Kumaris, Om Shanti. So Om Shanti to everyone, that you are peaceful souls, children of one Supreme Father, the spiritual father of all souls, and we are all his children. So this world is like a family, and we are the children of that Supreme Father who has such a whole big world family. So it's nice meeting all of you, and I would like to share something on karma. Yes? Yeah, I was mentioning today what karma is. Karma means any type of action, but it is not just action, but it is also the reaction. So action and reaction go together, as we say. But it's not so simple with karma, because sometimes action is like just sowing one seed, but then the reaction is like getting or receiving 100 fruits. So it depends what type of action we are doing and how we are doing, when we are doing, and with whom we are doing, and why we are doing. So our attitude, our feelings, our thoughts, our intentions, motives, all that counts. And that is also all part of karma. So action and reaction has to be understood in karma, because one seed can give so many fruits. It's not just one fruit. And the seed and the fruit are not at the same time. It takes some time to get the fruit. And therefore we say that you should not have expectations of receiving something immediately. We have to have patience. You keep on doing your good actions. Don't think of the results at that moment, and give the results of fruit to God to decide what fruit I should get. Because we are here just to do the good actions. I'm a soul, an actor on this world drama stage. And as an actor on this world drama stage, I have to play my best role possible. So whatever role I'm allotted with, or I'm given, or whatever I'm doing, let me do it with the best of intentions, best of motives, best of feelings and attitude and thoughts. So if that is the best, then automatically the result will be also the best. But I don't have to think of the results at that moment. I have to give the result to God to decide, because again, many karmic accounts are merged in this. My past karmic accounts also are involved in this, because I will get according to what I have done in the past as well, and therefore that will affect my present and my future. But let me try to make my present the best way possible. Of course, the present depends on the past, but then if my present is good, then automatically I make my future good. And if I make my future good, then I don't have to worry at all about the future. So this is what we say in karma. Do everything in a very soul-conscious way, in the remembrance of God, and give you the result or the fruit of that action to God to decide. But you keep on doing the best way possible. So karma means action and reaction. Whatever you want for yourself, that you have to give. If you want respect, then give respect. If you want happiness, then give happiness. If you want peace, then share peace with others. And how can you share these values with others? So we can do them through our thoughts, our words and actions. Because if I have pure thoughts, peaceful thoughts about others, then definitely I'm sharing purity, peace with others. And if I'm sharing purity, then peace will come automatically, because my mind, if it has pure thoughts, then purity leads to to peace and happiness. I should not be wanting peace or happiness, because that's my own nature. It's a nature of the self, nature of the soul. So as a peaceful soul, a pure soul, a happy soul, I'm the child of God who has come into this world to perform good actions, pure actions, righteous actions. And if I do righteous actions, I will definitely bear good fruit, good results. So I have to keep on doing. I have to keep on sharing. I have to keep on giving. And if I'm doing that, then I'm definitely performing good actions. And what should I be giving? I should be giving the virtues of the soul. Then definitely I will get back those virtues, because the more I share, the more I become richer in them. And thirdly, I have to keep in mind that I'm only serving God, because God has sent me into this world, and therefore I have to serve God. I have to glorify God. I have to do every action under His guidance, and only then I can experience God's protection for me. I can experience God's loving hand above my head, blessing me, protecting me, and making me the master of myself. So I do everything in the remembrance of the Supreme, and I feel that how I'm bestowed peace, happiness by that Supreme Father. So karma teaches me how to do the right things at the right moment. I should not be afraid of karma. Many people are afraid of karma because they have done something wrong, so they are afraid of punishment. We say, don't be afraid of punishment. Instead, take a good lesson from karma, that You have to do the right actions. If you have done bad actions, then be ready to pay for those bad actions. You don't have to be unhappy over it. But on the contrary, feel that karma is teaching you to do good actions. So keep on doing the good and the good will come back to you. Don't think of anything bad. Don't think of anything wrong. Don't think of giving sorrow to anyone. Don't think of taking revenge from anyone, because all that is based on karmic accounts. So keep settling, finishing karmic accounts. Only then we can become light, we can become happy, we can become peaceful. This is our real aim or real purpose of coming into this world. And if we can do that, then we have made our life successful. We have made our life worthwhile. Otherwise, this life, which is worth value, which is worth diamonds, we are losing it at a shell's cost. It is how it is getting lost. But this life is very valuable. So life can be felt valuable only if we have values in our life. If no values in life, then even life is not valuable. But we should be thinking about our values much more than anything else. But in today's world, we are seeing people are more concerned about money. And they think if money is lost, then everything is lost. We say no. If money is lost, nothing is lost. Because money is like the dust on your hands. It goes, it comes back, it goes, it comes back. You have to keep washing. And then your hands become clean. Then again they get dusty. Then again you have to wash. So money is like that. Wealth comes and goes. It is always moving, always rotating, always rolling. And therefore, let it do its own course. But I have to make sure that I'm not after money. I'm not after any greed. I'm not after any desires of this world. But I should be satisfied, contented, quenched in life. And when I'm happy, quenched, satisfied in life, then I feel that this life is really worth living. So money is not that important, but above that, higher than money or wealth, is our health. So we have to make sure that we remain healthy, because if health is lost, then we say something is lost. But if money, wealth is lost, then nothing is really lost, because it comes back easily. But if health is lost, it doesn't come back very easily. And therefore, we have to be careful for that. We need a good diet. We need some exercise. We need a proper rest. We need all that for good health. But if we lose our health, it is a little concern. So make sure that you stay healthy. But then even higher than that is our character. Because if of ill health, maybe my body is affected. But of bad character, ill character, my soul is affected. My soul, how it gets a bad stain. And for that to go is not so easy, because this can go on for many births as well. Or maybe it can go on lifetime. And therefore, we have to be very, very careful with what we are doing, what we are saying, what we are thinking, because all that becomes part of our karma, part of our destiny ultimately. So what type of destiny we want? We want to be happy, we want to be peaceful, we want to have a good family, we want good health, we want enough money. So all that will come if my intentions are good, my feelings are good, I'm helping everyone, because what I give, that I get back. So this is understanding karma philosophy, which is very deep. So I have to keep on doing good to all, and the rest God will surely give the fruit of my good actions. Nothing goes in vain. Everything comes back of what you give. So keep on doing good, keep on giving good, and the good will come back to you. Thank you. Om Shanti, Om Shanti.
That was really profound. I can't thank you enough for giving us your words of wisdom. Yeah. And And I have to tell you, too, so Mahatma Gandhi was right then when he said that be the change that you wish to see in the world.
Yes, this is what Mahatma Gandhi said. If you want to see change in the world, then be that change yourself. Because each drop makes an ocean. An ocean is not made just like that. Drops and drops ultimately lead to an ocean. So if I am peaceful, I can make my family peaceful. My family is peaceful, then I can make the society peaceful. And if the society is peaceful, then I can make my nation peaceful. Then I can make the world also peaceful and happy. But let it start from me first. I have to change. Don't expect the other one to change. Very often we want the other one to change. We point out a finger towards the other one and say, he should change. But at that time, three fingers are pointing towards me, which means I have to change three times than what I expect the other one to change one time. So if I change, everything will change. So let me be the change I want to see in the world.
That's really beautiful. And actually, if you look at this on a global perspective, perhaps people should look more within themselves and meditate and think about the ways that they can improve themselves rather than looking to their so-called leaders for help.
Yes, it's true. I have to check myself first. We are very good at checking others. We are very good at judging others. We are very good at deciding what others should do. But we hardly check ourselves. And when we try to check others and others don't change, then that gives us a lot of sorrow. But if we check ourselves and change ourselves and just be detached observers of others, because each one's destiny is different, each one's fate is different, each one's karma is different. So the only thing I can do for others is to give them the good wishes. We say, don't take the law in your hand because you will have to reap for that. So give everyone a chance to do his karma himself, and then he will reap what he gives. I have to just give peace and happiness to all. This should be my aim in life.
Several days ago, Sister Shilu, you mentioned, I took a lot of notes in what you had to say. You said we are all spiritual beings in a physical body, and we shouldn't look for God outside, but God's within all of us.
No, I said peace is within you.
Peace, okay.
Peace is not outside. Peace is within you. You are an embodiment of peace and the child of God, the ocean of peace. So if I'm a peaceful soul, my home is the land of peace. My father is the ocean of peace. So I can never be peaceless. That's what I said, and that's what I meant too.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. You also said, and please tell me if I'm misquoting you. You are, each person is a soul looking through the eyes of God at the world. And all of us have the spark of the Supreme Being within us, but we all look at the world in our own unique way through our eyes.
No, I said that as we are, it's like, you know, some people say like we are part of God, mm-hmm. but we are not part of God, but whatever are the qualities of God, the same are in me too. So quality-wise, we're all alike, and we are the children of God, and therefore quality is the same. But quantity may be different. Like we say, God is the ocean of knowledge, ocean of peace, and I'm an embodiment of peace, and I'm an embodiment of knowledge, and so on. But then I lose my peace and happiness and knowledge, so God has to give that back to me. This is what I really mean. But it's not that we are just specks of God. God has his own identity. My soul has his own identity. Mm-hmm. Every soul is unique. Every soul is different. Every soul is special. Mm-hmm. But yes, we are definitely children of God. And why we are children of God? Because God gives us a spiritual birth. Mm-hmm. And that's why we are the children of God. Otherwise, soul is also eternal. Mm. But we do take a spiritual birth. Sorry, we do take a spiritual birth from God.
Interesting.
That's it.
Interesting.
Okay.
And forgive me if I misquoted you, but you said so many interesting things. You said the inner voice within everyone is the soul's voice.
Yes. Inner voice means the voice coming from the intellect, the intellect's voice, which is a decisive factor in the soul. And that's always directing me towards the right direction, right actions. Mm-hmm. But very often what we do is we suppress the intellect and the mind just follows the senses. Mm-hmm. That's what I mentioned.
Okay. Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
The other quote you said the other day was fascinating to me. You said, you don't belong to this world, you belong to the light in a world of light.
Yes, as we are lights, we belong to that world of light. This world is only like a guest house. Mm. This world is like a stage. So we are, Shakespeare said this world is a stage and we are all actors playing our respective roles. Mm-hmm. So as actors on this world drama stage, we play our role in the best way possible. But not interfere in anybody else's role, not point out anyone else's mistakes. But I have to play my role in the best way possible. This is what is important.
Mm-hmm. You also said the other day, Sister Shilu, that the language of the soul is silence. So you go within to be silent, to learn who you are.
Yeah, to go in means to become aware of your true nature. And to become aware of your true nature means to know your true self. So I am a peaceful soul, and therefore I don't have to look for peace outside. Peace is within me. So go inwards, but today we are afraid to go inwards, either because of too much of negativity or because of emptiness. Like we are so hollow. So that hollowness gives us a lot of fear, like you go to a lonely place, you're so afraid that. So like it's empty inside. There's no peace, no love, no happiness, and therefore we're afraid to go in. Otherwise, so much of negativity, all the negative things are inside, therefore also we're afraid to go in.
I have to ask you this question. You know, I'm from the United States, and we spend 57% of our gross national product on the military for weapons. Every country spends a lot of money on the military. But in a new world, if people truly find peace within themselves, we won't need to spend all this money on bombs, will we?
Definitely we wouldn't need. Because if each one becomes aware that he's a peaceful soul, he will never want war. Mm-hmm. You know? So first the peace must start in the mind. If there's war in the mind, then the war comes in the world. So let me start with peace in my mind. And only then we can change the world.
Mm-hmm. Do you think our world of the future will eventually be a world of peace and harmony?
Definitely. It is a world of peace, and it will be the world of peace and happiness, because God is the ocean of peace and love and happiness. So His creation is definitely meant to be that. Mm-hmm. But today we are going against His creation, this creation, and that is why we are experiencing so much sorrow. But the world will again become a peaceful and happy place to live in.
Something else you said very profound is that you cannot change anyone but yourself. So you should work on yourself first. Is that right?
Definitely. We have to work on ourselves first. Mm-hmm. So when I work on myself, then I'll be able to inspire others to change. So you can't teach values also, we say, but you can really share your values and inspire him to imbibe values, that's all.
Mm-hmm. So when people come to me and ask how they can make this world a better place, they need to find the peace within themselves first, is that right?
Yeah. It's true. If you want to make this world a better place, first you become better. And then that will enable you to make others better. So first, check yourself. Check yourself all the time. We have in this organization the saying, self-transformation leads to world transformation. Mm. So if you want world transformation, first do self-transformation.
Mm-hmm. Very, very, very profound words, Sister Shilu. Is there anything, you said so many fascinating things the last few days. What other advice would you give people to make this world a better place?
Definitely, I would say that this world as it is going along now cannot stay long. It has to change. Mm-hmm. The change is inevitable. If we don't change ourselves, then time will change us. So instead of allowing time to change us, if we do it ourselves on our own, then definitely we'll be able to become better people and make this world a better world.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, one thing I learned many years ago when I lived in India is that we're all children of God. Mm-hmm. We are all children of God. Mm-hmm. And once we realize that, we would be less likely to harm each other because we'd hurt ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as we are children of God, we need to love one another, we need to respect one another, we need to see the virtues of one another. And if we can do that, then we can make this world a better world, a peaceful world.
Thank you so much, Sister Shilu. You've given so many wonderful words of wisdom today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, sure. And I'm sure all those who have heard this will also have change in their thoughts, in their feelings, in their attitude, and through this change themselves, change the family, the society, the country, the world in general. Thank you. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. I have to tell you, too, that when I leave here, I'll be stopping in Ahmedabad, and I plan to do some prayers and meditation at the ashram that Mahatma Gandhi was at. Yes, when he was alive. And I can feel his presence here with us. I'm a psychic, so I talk to spirits on the other side all the time. But I just want to tell you, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your beautiful work.
Yeah, it's good because we just celebrated Mahatma Gandhi's 150th birthday. Very recently, 2nd of October was his birthday. And the Prime Minister of India went on 2nd October to Ahmedabad to Sabarmati Ashram and meditated there. And our Prime Minister of India, how he is having that aim, because Mahatma Gandhi spoke about clean India. So clean India, how to really do cleanliness in India, but external as well as internal. We need to be clean. This is very, very important. This is what Mahatma Gandhi said, and that's what we have to bring in our lives.
Mm. We're also entering, I think, a time of truth as well, where things that are true are becoming truer, and those that are false are also becoming shown to be false.
Yes, of course. Ultimately, truth triumphs, we say, no? The truth always wins. So the truth has to come, and today is a special day. It is called Dasera. Dasera means the Ram killing Ravan. They talk in the Ramayana. Mm-hmm. So today is Dasera, the day Ram killed Ravan. So Ravan means the devils, the evils, and Ram is God. So how God finishes all the evils in this world. So it is today is a special day. It is victory of righteousness over unrighteousness. So today is a special day for that.
Today.
Yeah,
wow.
Dasera, we say.
Oh, good.
Ravan, you know, with 10 heads, they show all the 5 vices. Mm-hmm. So how he was killed by Ram, by God himself. So today, victory of virtue over vice, mm-hmm. Victory of adharma, of dharma over adharma, you know, religiousness over irreligiousness, righteousness over unrighteousness. So today is that special day.
Oh my goodness, wow.
Yeah.
Well, my friend Professor Albert Einstein always said that nothing happens by coincidence, and we live in a deterministic universe, so this wasn't a coincidence today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. So victory of truth over untruth. So victory of right over of wrong, you know, like that. Yeah.
Of light over darkness.
Yes, victory of light over darkness. So all the victory of goodness over badness. So this is a day.
Well, we certainly need that.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah.
I'm Shanti. Thank you so much. Yes. Thank you so much, Sister Shilu. This is Ted broadcasting live from Mount Abu in Western Rajasthan. In India, and I hope you've enjoyed this wonderful interview with Sister Shilu. Thank you so much. Hello, friends. I'm at the Spirituality and Wellbeing Center at the Global Hospital here in Mount Abu in western Rajasthan with Ms. Kalpana.
Yes.
And what kind of work do you provide people here?
See, I'm a basically psychologist, and people come here, approach me for counseling. Mm-hmm. Counseling is generally known, and people know about it. The counseling people know about it. But here we are using spiritual counseling. So we are using Brahma Kumari's concept, knowledge, and meditation practice for giving a better understanding of healing. And we are helping people for healing process. So people approach to me, those who are facing psychological illnesses, psychological problems, or major physical illnesses for what they are facing, the stress in their life. So when they come here, you know, children, youngsters, adults, and old people, you know, generally we find they are facing different problems according to their age groups. Mm-hmm. So we have to handle them accordingly. First is illnesses. We talk with them when they are ill, physically or mentally. So that kind of counseling, we need to have a different of therapy plans. Mm-hmm. But the age group problems, like children's, some are very active and hyperactive. So for them, we have different therapy plan. People, students, those who are not interested in studies, and nowadays they are more of interested in mobile and television and social media. For them, we have different therapy plan. Mm-hmm. And therapy plan.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
For students who perhaps are addicted to electronic media, and they don't want to be a productive, that's fascinating.
Yeah. So, you know, we talk with them, we give them small exercises to do, and through those exercises, they actually come to know about their value system, their personality, their hobbies, their areas of interest, and they come to know that apart from the electronic media, I can even spend time in some other activities which are very interesting. So we introduce them that kind of activities. We work with them. We talk with them. And when we talk, you know, a counselor, when we talk with people, we are generally like keeping our foots into their shoes, and we try to understand their perspective, and according to that we talk to them. So they feel very comfortable talking with us, and when they are comfortable and easy with us, then we slowly introduce new things to them, and they are ready to accept it. Whilst with parents and other people, they are not ready to accept new things because they are not having that kind of a conversation or relationship with them, because sometimes scolding or beating or hurting them, it makes them, you know, they go little far away from their parents and friends. So counselors are better understanding people. And for youngsters, you know, sometimes along with electronic media, nowadays they are attracted towards addictions, many of the addictions, you know, and due to their friend circle, their company, they are trapped into these kind of addictions, and they come to us when it is, you know, it's the extreme stage, when they reach to the extreme stage and they can't, you know, handle this addiction. At that time, they come to the psychiatrist or psychologist. Yeah.
I have to give you a big compliment on your work, because I'm from the United States, and our society doesn't look at being addicted to computers and cell phones as a problem. Mm-hmm. but you do here. Yeah. And that's just fascinating. And I think it does, I think people lose social skills after a while if they become too addicted to cell phones and computers. It's not a, they're not a bad thing. It just depends on how you use them, of course. But for young people especially, I find it fascinating the kind of help you provide to them.
Yeah, definitely. You know, addicted to this and counting, you know, during the day, whatever time they are spending in front of screen is very important. And addiction in India is also very a big problem. Like, they have been introduced to different drugs nowadays. Few of the areas in India, few of the states in India are very much influenced by the drugs. You know, sometimes children are provided free drugs initially, and when they get addicted, they have to spend money for drug. And these kind of patients, when they come to us, and it is, you know, our fortune that we are ready to help them in through the counseling and through the spiritual practices. Yeah. So it's wonderful. I'm getting a very good results, you know, for the youngsters. They are coming out of drugs. And what is the tactics we use to them, with them, you know? Actually, the other counselors outside, they do counseling, but their method is different and our method is different. We start with silence and practicing silence and meditation. We introduce them meditation first. So whilst meditating, they have to observe silence. And it's very, very beautiful experience of silence when they get initially. We make them physically and mentally relax through meditation. And after that, whatever things we want to make change into their life, we just introduce those changes to them.
What makes your work so critically different from what I'm used to in the United States is that we don't use spirituality in treatment programs for young people. We just call them, we call it everything else, addictive drug addiction, for example, alcoholism. But by failing to recognize that everyone has spirituality and incorporating spirituality in the treatment programs, I think we're really missing out in the West.
Yeah, definitely. I find Western people also come to me, and to them also the observing silence and practicing meditation, mental and physical relaxation is a kind of new thing we are introducing them, to them. You know, through meditation, they find themselves again, refinding themselves, and they find out, like, what is my value system, how I can use those values into practice, you know, and how I can use my abilities and capacities. Like last time when I attended a drug addict, he was, you know, last 7 years he was using all kinds of drugs and was very much disturbed, and now he had finished all the money and all the power, that he was helpless. And when he came here, so we started with meditation and relaxation. At that time he accepted that he was a very brilliant student, but he stopped studying, and then he started mingling with the friends, those who were using drugs, consuming drugs, and he got into their trap and he lost himself. And then when he started meditating, practicing silence, then he said that I was a good writer. I used to write. So how I found that he was a good writer, he said, I want to write a letter to you. I said, okay. I gave him a paper and he wrote a very good poem and a letter to me. And I found him, he's a very good writer. I told him that you write your story. And he started writing. So this is a kind of diversion. You know, you are expressing your energy towards the creative and positive things. So through meditation, he found out again the lost thing he has done here.
And how is he doing now? Is he doing much better now in terms of his life?
He is doing very much better in his life. Every day he sent me 4 pages of his book to just read and correct. you know, every day we are having connection together, like we are having follow-up system. Those who take counseling sessions here, we have created a group for them and we discuss with each other. Whenever they stuck somewhere, they can easily contact us and ask us. So he's doing very well. He's doing very well. He's writing, he's painting, he has set his daily routine, walking, gym, exercise, diet, everything, and he's doing very well. No withdrawal syndromes.
A lot of people with addictions, drug and alcohol addictions in the United States anyway, are sent into treatment programs but only as a result of, for example, criminal charges, where they're forced into a treatment program. I don't know too much about those programs, but I don't think they emphasize spirituality as you do here.
Yeah, that I know, because many of the clients come here after they are spent time in rehab centers here in India also. But they don't have they are not using spiritual practices anywhere, even in India, in rehab centers. So when they come here, you know, the boy, he said when he was leaving that you have introduced, ma'am, me a different world. I didn't know this world. If I would have known this world, I wouldn't have gone there in drug addiction, you know. So this is a different world, meditation, spiritual knowledge, spiritual practices. And what does it mean, spirituality? Spirituality means connecting with yourself, you know, your value system, understanding yourself and finding yourself back. And, you know, using your powers in your life, that is spirituality. And through meditation, it is possible.
Wow, that's just amazing. I'm so glad that you could share this with me and my listeners today, Ms. Kampala. We've got a few minutes left, and I'd love to have you wrap up your beautiful interview today.
Thank you very much for, you know, considering me for this interview. Whatever I'm doing, I'm recognized by you. Thank you for that. And yes, whatever I'm doing it for myself. This is a very big satisfaction for me that I can help people. And we are offering these services free of cost in the hospital. That is a big thing, because people are very much easy and happy to receive this kind of counseling sessions along with the treatment. So my message to the listeners is, you know, wherever you are in the world, you can try to practice a kind of meditation and try to know what is spirituality. It's different from religion.
Oh. Excellent. Would you mind giving out your contact information, and please, in case people had some more questions?
Yes. So my name is B.K. Kalpana. I am working here in Global Hospital and Research Center, Mount Abu. Mount Abu, yeah, India. And my email ID is kalpanaghrc@gmail.com. I will spell it for you. kalpanaghrc@gmail.com. And my contact telephone mobile number is 9414082456. I repeat, 9414082456. Thank you very much.
Okay. Ms. Kampala, thank you so much for coming on today. I know everyone's really going to enjoy your beautiful interview. This is Ted, broadcasting from Mount Abu in beautiful Rajasthan in India today. And I hope you all have a beautiful and happy day. And again, thank you so much for coming on my show.
Thank you very much.
Have a beautiful weekend, everyone. Bye-bye and namaste, as they say in India.